it.
We're coloring between the lines.
Coloring between the lines. Well, we don't have that much. We only have like 30 minutes of music to play tonight, and we might not even play that much. So we're going to do a conversational hour. Seth, I believe, brought some tarot cards with him. We're going to do a reading on air. So that should be fun. That's all ahead of us. Let's just check the listener count. Why don't we?
I put this on my Snapchat stories, I told Adam, so I expect it to be in the hundreds of thousands.
Oh, well, we've got Bridget a whopping 11, so
we have
it's
Bridget
good so far.
On our promotion team.
All right, promotion by Bridget. All right, well, we're going to return in a minute. Let's listen to a song, and then we'll be back in a minute.
Thank you.
All
right, everybody. We just heard Since I Left You, the opening track from the Avalanche's album of the same name. Hope everyone out there is doing well tonight. Me, Seth, and Bridget are in the studio. We're here this hour. We're going to do some talking, going to play some music, and that's all. Yeah, so during that song, we were discussing frugality, or a lack thereof, on the part of one Seth White Gordon. Seth, you wanna share?
Well, today I was struck with an inspiration. I've had this vision for quite some time now, I would think a few years, that I've wanted to acquire and own a old typewriter. Because I think there's something so traditional, yet unconventional, but also at the same time so physical about writing on a typewriter that I just...
And so quirky.
Well, sure. As you I mean, must there's, be. There's a social aspect, undeniably. You know, I think it impresses people, and it's like an interesting factoid. But really, the purpose of this wasn't to benefit myself socially, but rather artistically. And of course, well, perhaps not. Of course, typewriters are in fact very expensive. Because they're so old, well, most of them are, and, you know, there's no more supply in basic economics. The demand has obviously dramatically decreased, but still exists, and yet there's no supply, so the prices are going up. However, I may have spent most of my savings on a typewriter. However, I view this as not only an artistic investment, but also a financial one, because the typewriter I purchased and now own is a rare typewriter that has a unique font, was developed during the Depression era, so does not have capitalization. It's all caps because they had to remove parts of the typewriter, make it cheaper during the Depression era. So it's actually an extremely rare antiquity that was sold at a pretty reasonable price. So in about 50 years down the line...
Can you name this reasonable price for the listeners out there?
I will not, due to... financial privacy. I also just want to...
All right, for the listeners out there, what was it, 240?
Yes, something around there.
About 240. And let's just say, and I'm, you know, I'm virtually quoting here, most of my savings. End quote, you know.
Well, but here's the thing. In 20 years, one, not only will it still be in amazing condition, which everyone's...
It will retain value and become more valuable.
Right. And also, we spend thousands of dollars on computers that last us how many years? 4, 5?
That's a fair point.
Those computers are worth
five. Are you going to turn in papers for your classes with a typewriter?
Of course not.
Are you going to take it to your classes?
I'm going to whip it out in U.S. elections and start tip-tap typing. You know it's extremely loud.
You know who else has the typewriter, right? Did we have this discussion?
Yeah, we talked about this.
Yeah.
Well,
you know,
all I'll say. Jealousy loves company. And I know you're both jealous because I have typewriter.
At home, my grandfather used to collect typewriters. So we have a couple in our attic at home. So theoretically, I could have brought you one for free, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, that offering wasn't made. Anyway, the point is I have a rare antiquity now that will probably sell at an auction for thousands and thousands of dollars later down the line.
You don't have the sword and the stone here. Come on.
And meanwhile, you two are making no investments of the sort, are continuing to use technology that steals your information, watches
so you're on
your
the Anthony
every
Davis
mood.
Pate wave, are you?
Well, no, I'm just saying... I don't cookie. Listen, Amazon can't tell what I'm writing on my typewriter now, can it?
This is the man that just got a free Google Home and put it in his room. Speaking
they
of,
can hear everything yes. you're well, typing on the free. Typewriter.
It's free.
Well, let's just not try to posture about giving out information then.
No, but see, Google Home. See, I don't subscribe to, you know, what's the word? Conspiracy theories that Google is secretly listening to us. But you can. Literally, if you look something up as an ad, you will get ads later on your computer for whatever you looked up. It's called cookies. It's perfectly legal. The U.S. legalized it, I think, 2 or 3 years ago, that your computer and companies can take data that you use on Google and advertise things for you. It's a perfectly legal thing to do. I just don't agree with it. But the typewriter doesn't do that, and my Google Home doesn't do that. It also doesn't work.
Period.
But perks of the free Google Home.
That's a different conversation.
Well, I would like to, you know, clarify that it is, you know, a proven fact that these things are listening to you at all times.
Proven by whom?
Exactly.
I don't know. Somebody.
All right, Seth and I rest our case on that one.
Exactly. Anyway, so yes, I do have a typewriter, but I think it was an intelligent decision on my part, and I have,
certainly in the length of the semester I've seen you make less intelligent decisions. So.
Mm. Okay, well, I'm gonna not respond to that one. I'm gonna rise above. When they go low, we go high. Michelle Obama said that, I believe.
Somebody, I mean, I excuse me if I'm not giving her enough credit, but somebody must have said that before her.
Yeah.
Why? Because
that's really not that long ago that she would have been saying that and have been quoted.
Anyway, she popularized it.
Popularized by Michelle Obama.
Yes. Exactly.
Sure.
Anyway.
All right, well.
I'm going high, and I hope we keep the high vibes with this next song.
Wow, that transition.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Well, actually, before we get into the next song, why don't we do... my tradition usually throw it around a couple shout outs at the beginning of each hour. So, who are people feeling to shout out tonight? Who or what? You know, ideas, concepts, places. Can we shout out tonight?
Oh, well, keeping in theme with my
let's keep it brief.
Okay, keeping in theme with my typewriter. You know, the rejection of new technology. I just want to shout out a lovely woman named Jen and her wonderful, wonderful film camera. Mm. There is such a brilliance to the way she photographs and the way she captures such joy, and it's such pregnant moments.
We do love pregnant moments here.
So, shout out to that wonderful, wonderful woman.
You know, I would like to send a quick shout out to all my Richardson girls. I haven't seen her in a while, but left some delicious pie out in the common room.
Yeah, big shout out to the Richardson people.
Adam and I enjoyed it earlier.
I indulged myself in the pumpkin pie that was left in the common room, and I duly appreciated it.
So. It was really good. You know, it's been sitting there a couple of days, so I was a bit hesitant, but it was pretty good.
Oh, see, I didn't know that information, but you know, it was still all right, you know. All right, I'll throw a quick shout out to Terry Cole, who showed me this next song that we're going to play. So, there you go.
Thank you.
Wow.
All right, everybody, we just heard Flo, Philip Glass. That one is pretty beautiful, I think. Thank you, Terry, for showing that to me.
That certainly grew on me over the course of the song.
Seth, what did you think of that one?
It was nice. It reminded me of, what's that song called? Spring One by Vivaldi, but the remastered version.
Very digital.
We could play it later.
I'd be down to play some Vivaldi later. That could be a vibe. Do you want to do a full reading, or do you want to just do a couple cards of the night? Cards du jour.
Why don't we do a few cards for anyone listening to help guide them on their way and to make sure that if you have any answers or any questions or anything of note, really, that hopefully the next, let's say, three cards will guide you.
Let's hope so. And before we get there, just a quick message from WMFO in Medford. The WMFO donations drive is still in full swing. Go to WMFO.org and click on the Donate tab, fill out the donations drive Google form, and then follow the link at the bottom of the form to the Tufts Giving page to make your monetary contribution. Yes, you heard it here, 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. We need your money. We need your money. Give it to us. Specific directions on how to donate to WMFO on the Tufts Giving page are included next to the link within the Google form. Help support the station and everything we do. So if you want any more tarot readings, if you want any more Pretzel Logic, what's your show called again, sir?
Voices from Above.
If you want any more Voices from Above, you know, in your life in general, really, just besides on the radio, you know, just any voice from above, it's gonna leave if WMFO dies. So just give us your money, you know? And, all right, Seth. He's laid out three cards. What do you have for us, Mr. Gordon?
So let's contemplate together. There's the Seven of Pentacles, Strength, and the Moon. So what I'm gathering from these three cards is that this is a time of transition. This is a time of perhaps confusion. There's motives in which you might not quite understand. There are powers at hand that perhaps escape human comprehension. However, you should rely upon your sort of inner power, strength, and resolve to power through whatever trials and tribulations you're going through. At this time, it's better to focus rather than growing and learning, to simply persevere. And that act of perseverance, while difficult and perhaps taxing, will give you the resources to keep pushing forward and perhaps will be a lesson of its own. In the next coming days, months, perhaps years, try to not necessarily seek out areas of conflict or areas in which you would like to grow in, but rather let your realities and let the consequences, both positive and negative and neutral, of your actions hit you. You shouldn't run towards the future, but rather let the future come and flow naturally through you. And if you do have, let's say, some on a more physical and in material terms, don't make any big investments, both financial and emotional, in the next couple of days. Make sure to
particularly if you already invested heavily today, you know.
Yes, and if you have a troublesome relationship, it might be better to take a break rather than to keep pushing forward, and call upon either a friend or a family member that you haven't talked to recently, and either ask them for assistance or just reach out and ask how they're doing. But make sure in these next couple of days that you're really strengthening your connections to the physical earth, and rather than push for something new or start something new, look back and perhaps rekindle something you've already started. And make sure to never start something you're not comfortable finishing.
Thank you very much, Seth. That has been a mini tarot reading for the listeners of WMFO in Medford, all 10 of you. So take heed of that advice. And let's keep moving with the music. Let's keep moving with the music.
Can't wait.
Gonna play a shushu song.
And it was the kindest touch you ever gave. Wrap my dreams around your thighs and drape my hope upon the chance to touch your arm. Fabulous muscles, cremate me after you come on my lips. Honey boy, place my ashes in a vase beneath your workout bench.
We just heard Fabulous Muscles, the title track from the Shushu album, Fabulous Muscles, 2004 release.
Gorgeous.
Wonderful Shushu album. Seth, I believe you just divined that you had another shout out to throw.
Let's hear it.
Give me a minute.
give you a minute on that shout out?
Yeah, I'm manifesting the right vocabulary.
Okay, he's ruminating on the shout out.
Exactly.
In the meantime, we're about halfway through the hour here on WMMFO in Medford, and that means we're going to hear a little PSA. Bridget, take it away.
Here's something to think about in light of Seth's new purchase. Why not cover your computer camera?
Amen.
Speak on it.
If you have a computer with a webcam and you don't use it, why not cover up the camera with a piece of opaque tape? In addition to government programs, there's plenty of other malware and viruses that can hijack the computer's camera to spy on you. So if you don't use it, consider covering it up. A message in the public interest from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Tufts Educational Freeform Radio. We love that one. All right. Have you gotten your thoughts together? Have you gathered your thoughts during that PSA, or you need to wait after the next song?
Perhaps the next song will help me.
Perhaps the next song? Well, the next song is some Kate Bush, so perhaps it will.
I'm sure it will.
All right. Let's hear it.
You must wake up.
Wake up.
Wake up, man.
Wake up, child. Pay attention.
Come on. Wake up.
Wake up, love.
You should make the night, but see your little lights alight.
Wake up, sleepyhead.
everybody. That was Waking the Witch, Kate Bush. That's from, of course, 1985's Hounds of Love, in my opinion, the greatest album ever made. But that's just my opinion, if I've never expressed that one on air before. But that was Waking the Witch, one of the more harrowing and strange songs on that album. But love it all the same. Anyway, you ready to give your shout-out now, Seth?
Yeah, I've come up with the correct vocabulary to describe what I would say is a immense connection to this wonderful person whose name is Max, who's listening, of course. I would just like to say shout out to him and to all of the good he has brought to my life personally and also to the world in it of itself. Cancer men generally are heinous, but I think his interpretation of his astrological destiny is one that to me only manifests beauty and goodness. So I just like to say we all appreciate you and we appreciate power.
We do appreciate power here.
Speaking of,
oh yeah, let's talk about this actually. Yeah,
are we excited for the new Grimes album?
I am. What do you think about that new song?
Gorgeous.
It goes incredibly hard.
Gorgeous, show-stopping, life-changing, throw it up, spit it out, eat it, shoot, like, amazing.
You lost me there at the end, but I'm with you in general, yes. It was a very good single. Excited for whatever Grimes is going to do. It's always bound to be interesting, even if it's not amazing. But I think it will be amazing this time.
I was concerned about We Appreciate Power, because that song came and went, but...
And it's not on the record, I don't think.
I think it might be.
I think it's like a bonus track.
Oh, anyway. But the last Violence, the club mix, has been on repeat for me personally for the past month and a half.
And what's the new one called?
So Heavy I Fell Through the Earth was good. Not amazing, but very good.
Good.
And then Dark Art, I believe it's called. Or like Darkness.
Yeah, I think Darkness. Yeah, I can look up the exact title. I think Darkness, though. That one I really do like. And then the new song that just came out, I am just a huge fan of. Especially the bass on it is really, really, really nice. Yes, of course, Miss Anthropocene coming February 21st of 2020. My Name is Dark. My Name is Dark, that one.
There we go.
Quite
brilliant.
Quite a good one. Quite a good one. Oh, and we Appreciate Power is going to be on there, which I'm glad about because I think that song is an absolute banger. Absolute banger.
We Appreciate Power. No, that song came really and went.
You can really feel the Elon Musk influence on that one, you know.
Exactly. That's why it came and went.
Shout out, what is it called? Shout out the Cybertruck.
Oh, God.
Actually, don't shout out the Cybertruck, but, you know, whatever.
Bridget, do you want to contribute to this conversation in any way? Do you have anything meaningful to say?
I do not, but, you know, I'm sure I'll hear the best songs through the two of you, so I'm looking forward to that. That'll be a good time.
Fair enough.
I also expect No Name to drop some new music in 2020.
Oh, did we hear? Did we hear?
I'm quite excited for that.
Did you read about the whole No Name thing that happened over Thanksgiving break?
Of course, I follow her on Twitter.
Well, what was that?
You can explain.
She is, so No Name, who was, I suppose, now, a very up-and-coming prominent rapper.
Well, we don't know for sure, but...
Okay, so she announced on her Twitter that she, after this new collab album with who again?
Saba and Smino.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pivot Gang,
yeah.
Yeah. She is no longer going to be making music.
Really?
I think for a variety of reasons. One, a main one she has continued to speak about, despite, I think, some form of backlash, is how predominantly white her audience is and how it's difficult for her to create content that is specifically targeted towards, it's made by and for black individuals, yet the main consumers are white individuals. Mm. Along with a bunch of other, I think...
Yeah, I mean, she was basically articulating that she was kind of sick and tired of performing in front of
what
she perceived to be, like, white-only audiences.
Yeah.
Right.
And that, I mean, she was frustrated with her audience on the one hand, but also frustrated on the other hand with the lack of a black presence in her audience.
Right. And then also, I think she was frustrated with the industry. Yeah. She's also started this, like, book club,
yeah,
which...
Really interesting.
If you have followed her on Twitter, she has become increasingly more leftist in her political ideology. And has now become very radical. So I think she's attempting to pursue that in some form. I mean, I am sad to see her go because I think her two albums were very good. They were,
really good.
Brilliant. Albums. But I do understand. I have seen her live, and I was in the majority in terms of racial demographics. So I understand her concerns.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll see.
That's certainly a worthy endeavor that she's on, though.
Yeah. I salute her in her courageousness because I fail to find another example of someone who is so young and upcoming, just sort of...
Well, people, I mean, maybe not for the same reasons, but people have made claims about that, or made the quitting music claim before and have not followed through on it. So I'm curious whether or not she does. And that's not an insult to her in any way. It's just like if you're a person that's the way that you speak creatively, then it's difficult to just abandon that completely, I think, as an artist.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens. I would love to hear another no-name record. I think she's incredibly talented, but whatever she chooses to do... I think we can be right there with her, and you know, wherever you are, there you are. All right.
Certainly.
That was a good conclusion.
Good conclusion.
Yeah.
To that. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's hear a Moby song.
Throw it on there.
All right.
Thank you.
That was God Moving Over the Face of the Waters, Moby, from his album Everything Is Wrong, came out in 1995. One of my, certainly my favorite Moby album, but really a pretty special album to me. Yeah, the show's hours winding down here. 12:46 in the morning, 12:47 now. Let's just check our listener count again here. Still with 10 listeners.
Impressive.
It's not terrible. It's not terrible.
I'm getting pretty sleepy over here.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Imagine staying up till I will say for our sake, we had 12 last night at 3 a.m., which was pretty good.
Pretty good
for Pretzel Logic. Yeah.
Well, you certainly are gaining a following.
I think so. Mm. Yeah. What's your listener count usually like on Voices from Above?
Yeah, whip it out, Seth.
Let's compare.
Generally, it's around 16, 17. I've hit 20 before.
Yeah, my highest ever on Pretzel Logic was 17, I think. Mm.
Well.
Well, you know, 3 a.m. is a little bit tough for people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Anyways, does anyone have any conversation starters or things they'd like to discuss?
Consider.
Silence.
I think silence is pretty underrated in general.
Oh, it certainly
hard
is.
Hard disagree.
Oh, I love good silence.
What's wrong with silence?
Meditative silence.
What's wrong with silence, Seth?
It's non-inventive. There needs to be a passion.
Ask John Cage about that.
There needs to be a seed to plant, to grow, to create. And silence is the absence of things. Silence is the absence of that seed.
I totally disagree. I think silence is where thoughts best flourish.
I think silence allows us to make considerations that we can't make when it's not there, you know? I don't know.
You know, silence is hard to come by in the city.
It is hard to come by in the city. True silence. A true silence. It's been a while. That's sort of what I liked about there at the... at the lodge in North Woodstock, New Hampshire there. Quite a tranquil silence up there.
It certainly was. Often ruined by Mark Lanegan, but...
Well, you know.
What's he supposed to do?
What can you do when you have a man like that around? There's not much to be done. Also, shout out to The Silence of the Lambs. An excellent film.
I have no intention of ever watching, but...
Why is that?
I'm not one for scary movies.
On one first, and I was about to say it's not scary, but that's entirely untrue.
It's certainly,
and
I remember
just a fabrication to get you to watch it. So.
My hairdresser told me the plot, so you can't fool me with that one, Adam.
Well, yeah, there is some people eating. There is some people eating, but you know, it's nice. It's tasteful people.
I believe
eating.
It's one of the only horror movies, if not the first, to ever win Best Picture.
Yes, although there is a debate to be had. Is Silence of the Lambs a horror movie?
Yes, of course it is.
Isn't it?
My answer is no.
Well, why is that?
Here we go.
Well, based on Tom Carroll's theory of horror and the nature of the presence of a monstrous figure, which both elicits fear and disgust in the viewer, I don't think you entirely get that. Because of... the viewer's desire, or well, maybe desire is the wrong word, but the viewer's sympathies for Hannibal Lecter and the ways that they come to support him by the end of the movie. And also,
you support Hannibal Lecter by the end of the movie?
Well, yeah, support is maybe a strong word, okay. But you definitely are rooting for him at certain points.
Hannibal apologist.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. You're definitely, the viewers are definitely rooting for him at certain points. And also, it's kind of like a, you know, it's also kind of just a police procedural. Like, there aren't really any of the other typical elements of horror there. There are some horrifying scenes.
Well, I have a question for you, Adam.
Go ahead.
Well.
In this overarching whatever.
Yeah.
In Parasite, could that be classism? In which case it would be a horror movie?
That's an interesting debate. I don't think you could make the argument that Parasite is a pure horror movie, but there is definitely elements in that.
Pure horror. I find this seems to me like such weird ways to fry. Like, the point of a movie like Parasite or like Silence of the Lambs is it's to strike fear and concern and horror into the viewer's eye.
I don't think that's the purpose of Parasite at all. I think that's the purpose of Silence of the Lambs. Maybe you could make that argument. I don't think Parasite's purpose is to strike fear, though. I think it's to illuminate.
I think it's to strike worry and fear.
It's concern. Like, I would argue that, like, a lot of documentaries could be filed as horror movies because they're terrifying.
Right.
It's, to me,
under your own definition.
But it seems strange to me.
We need a distinction between what's horror and what's horrifying.
Why?
Well, if we're going to use generic terms like that.
Why? Why do you need to distinguish the two? The two seem to be the same.
If we're going
to
have genres, so if you're going to make the argument that we don't need genres, that's fine. That's a totally different point. But
no, we do, but something that's horrifying should fall under the genre of horror. That seems pretty logical to me. Just like something that has action the action.
If you could watch a newscast of like a terrorist attack, and you could say, well, this is horrifying. Like, I'm horrified by
that's
this.
That's horror.
Yeah.
That's terror.
That's not a... But you wouldn't classify that as horror.
Yeah, I disagree. Yeah, I feel like we're straying. Because you can also look at classic horror films, you know, like the... What was that called? The Alien, where the thing jumps out of the guy's stomach.
Alien,
That's horrifying, but not really. It's horrifying how bad the special effects are.
That's an opinion. That's not a fact.
Did you just call the special effects in Alien bad?
They're horrific.
No, because here's the thing.
Horrific isn't terrifying.
A romance movie has romantic elements. It's about love.
Right.
A rom-com has romance and comedy. A horror movie has horror in it.
Well,
so that's a limiting definition because of the reason that we just explained. And you're trying to make the argument that a newscast could be horror?
If you made a movie where it's someone trying to escape a terrorist attack, that sounds horrifying to me. That sounds like it would strike horror. There are horror movies about people. There's I forget the name of the movie, but it's the movie where it's about the Norwegian, I believe it's in Norway.
There was a mass shooting.
Mm-hmm. And that movie, I would call that horror because it's about a terrifying experience and it elicits horror. If I watched a movie that was about perhaps people on a plane that, you know, hit the Twin Towers, I would describe that as a horror movie because it's horrifying to me. Sure, it doesn't have a jump scare, maybe. Maybe there isn't like a ghost or a monster, but
there's a huge amount of middle ground between those two ideas.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's needless to say something like Silence of the Lambs isn't horror because it's not a specific type of horror. It's not, you know, like a thriller, or it's not like, you know, a traditional horror movie the way like Halloween is or Friday the 13th is, but I would say it's terrifying and
I agree with you that it's terrifying.
So then why wouldn't you call it horror?
Because I will agree that I think the movie works on many different levels. So I think there are elements of horror in it, and I think there's elements of thriller and crime movies in it too, and I think there's other things going on which are all equally amazing, and shout out to Jonathan Demme for that. But I would really say that if we're going to start categorizing movies by genre, because the point of genre is so that we can have things to tell the differences between these movies, right?
Right.
So it's our job to be able to say, well, this is this category and this is that category. And to me, there's too many other elements in Silence of the Lambs for me to say, that's a horror movie.
Mm. But why can't it be a horror movie and something else?
Well, that's what I'm just saying. Like,
you can have a two-genre movie. It can be action, it can be thriller. There can be action horror movies. There can be rom-coms, there can be comedies, and then there can be romance movies, and then there can be movies that are both. Why limit ourselves?
I mean, that's now you're subscribing to a different kind of theoretical principle, but
it's the same principle.
I don't entirely disagree with you on that.
Adjectives to describe media which we consume. Sounds fun to me.
All right. Yeah. I think you need a tighter style of categorization.
Yeah, otherwise it's just worthless. Why have it at all? Why categorize things if you're just going to throw them into a billion different categories?
Your argument would be stronger if you just said, oh, we forget it, we don't even need genres.
No, we do. It helps. Understand, if I say, oh, Bridget, what is Silence of the Lambs about? And you would say, it's a horror movie. Now I know in my head what it's about, generally. I understand that, like, there are some limitations. It's not going to be about a love story. It's going to be about something bad.
Oh, but is it about a love story? That's an interesting question.
Anyway, do we have a last song to play for our audience so they don't have to hear us squabble about?
The audience must love the squabbling. But I can play a final song. But Okay. I think that was in, and there was just a call to the station. They requested a song, so I suppose now I have to play. That was quite strange.
Our very first caller.
No. Oh, shout out to Roy if you're listening. Roy who likes Roy Orbison. Shout out Roy who likes Roy Orbison if you're listening. And if you are, please call us. Okay, let's finish off this lovely hour again. I have been Adam. That has been Seth Gordon. That has been Bridget Dick.
Right over here.
The two of them are lawfully wedded.
Not quite lawfully, but certainly in the eyes of God.
The only eyes that matter.
Well said. No, I can't think of a better way to say goodbye than that. And this has been 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. I'm Adam. Listen up on Tuesday mornings / Monday nights to my show, Pretzel Logic, 3 to 4 a.m. Listen to Voices from Above, Seth's show, Saturdays at 8 a.m.
This Saturday
at
8 to 9 a.m.
8 to 9 a.m. Listen up.
And just come catch me on campus anytime.
Yeah, and go seek out Bridget on campus. All right. Good night, y'all. Good night.